الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين نبينا محمد وآله وصحبه والتابعين وتابعيهم بإحسان إلى الدين وبعد. Brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. You once again welcome onto this program of ours. Today the program is going to focus its attention on an important topic known as misconception about jihad. This very word jihad has been misconceived deliberately and at times not deliberately, and most especially by the enemies of Islam. They can be heard saying Islam was split through sword. I personally was confronted one day in the south. We went out for alhamdulillah propagation in a place when somebody came and told me that we've been told that you Muslims are intolerant, you kill, alhamdulillah, you let blood flow for flows and the like. In fact, somebody said, we've been told that you worship a god that you conceal in Kaaba, that's why the Kaaba is covered with a black cloth. There is a god, demigod inside that you go around. I said to him smilingly, come and hear from the horse's mouth. But before that, the word jihad is taken from jahada. There is jimun, there is ha, there is dalun. These are the root letters that come together to form the very word jihad. It is from jahada, yajhadu. Literally speaking, jihad means to exert oneself, to exercise pressure on oneself in doing something. Like I can say, اجتهدت في رفع الحجرة. I have suffered in removing the stone. But I can't say اجتهدت في رفع الورقة, because ورقة, paper, doesn't entail any difficulty or any energy dissipation there, okay? That is the literal meaning of the very word jihad. It is from jihad yajhadu. But technically speaking, al-jihad means بغل الطاقة والجود في قتال الكافرين والمشركين. Doing your best in fighting the enemies of Allah. When you say fighting, fighting can be through the hands, through the tongue, through the wealth, and through the heart. These things are called the steps of jihad or maratib al-jihad. Allah says in Quran chapter 29 verse 69, وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُلَنَا وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَمَعَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ لَمَعَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. Those who strive, look at it, strive in maintaining our way, that is jihad there. So everything you do in trying to attain Allah's pleasure is a jihad. To come and pray on time is a form of jihad. To obey your parent is an act of jihad. To go and seek for knowledge, regardless of the remoteness, how remote the place is you go, is a jihad. You give out zakat, is a jihad. You go to the hospitals and pay visit to those that are bedridden on account of sickness, it's a jihad. You go to the graveyard cemetery to go how people are going dying on daily basis in order to check the excesses of yourself, it's a jihad. Bring out commodity to make things easy for the people, it's a jihad. Ensure good governance through fair play, good elections, justice, truthfulness. It's a form of jihad. Telling people the truth as a scholar is a form of jihad. Maintaining good neighborhood is a jihad. there are many instances that can be cited in trying to explain the meaning of jihad. That's why Allah says, like you have heard, وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا لَنَهَدٍ سُبُلَنَا وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَمَعَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. But the gullible, those, the doubting Thomases would like to say, no, Islam was straight through the sword. I remember one of them I was speaking with in the Niger Delta. I said, well, in your Bible, in the book of Luke, chapter 19, verse 24, Jesus is reported to have said, those who will not follow me, bring them here, let me slash them and kill them. That doesn't make any Muslim to say Jesus spread his teaching through the blood. Because we know who is Jesus Christ, he's a prophet. Nobody knows Jesus Christ more than the Muslims know him. I was just speaking with a friend, a non-Muslim, who came asking question about Islam. He was surprised when he heard us quoting from Quran chapter 19, verses 16, 17, 18, 19, concerning Jesus Christ and his mother Mary. Now, jihad is to do your best in obeying Allah. No Muslim can live without jihad. If you remove jihad in your life, you are dead. Your Islam is no longer Islam. But the only thing the ulama have said, jihad is of two categories. There is the initial jihad, or if you like it, the offensive jihad, or jihad al-talab, and there is jihad al-dafi', the defensive jihad. All right? But I want to emphasize, maintaining good deed is an act of jihad. Rejecting bad deed is an act of jihad. For example, your eyes want to look at bad things. Control your gazes. It's a jihad. The opposite sexes want to meet one another. Don't do that. It's a jihad. When a call is made for you to go to pray on Jumu'ah, Allah says, إِذَا نُودِيَ لِلصَّلَاةِ مِنْ يَوْمِ الْجُمُعَةِ فَاسْعُوا إِلَىٰ ذِكِرِ اللَّهِ وَذَرُوا الْبَيْعِ ذَلِكُمْ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ. When the call is made on Friday, leave commercial transactions. Leave it. Go to Allah's remembrance. It is a jihad. Allah can try and test you. Maybe you have been for quite a long time without any, you didn't make any sales. And the prayer is called. And Allah sends somebody to come and buy from you. At the critical moment at which you are not supposed to remain in your shop, you should leave it and go and pray. It's a test to test your iman. It is an act of jihad. And then you do jihad through your hands. The jihad through the hand, according to ulama, that is the responsibility of those in authority. Like a governor can say, I hereby cancel the licenses for selling of liquor. It's not my business. I'm an imam. Mine is to talk and explain. Execution is not my hand. You can see, the VC in the university, for example, has the power of saying things should not be done through his pen, his powerful pen. You too can use your hand in your house to remove bad things. So jihad, that is the stage. Through the hands, through the tongue, through your, again, through your wealth, and through your heart. Take a good example. You can engage a non-Muslim, for example, through your tongue. It's a jihad. I was talking to a friend who came to me. I said to him, he was saying, the Muslims don't seem to be tolerant. And we are tolerant, very, very tolerant. Because it is because of our tolerance, Jesus Christ, alayhi salatu wasalam, is mentioned in the Quran 25 times. But not in a single verse of the Bible where Muhammad is mentioned. Either in the Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, the book of Job, the book of Habakkuk, the book of Kings. Not in the Bible. or the book of Revelation. Then he said, that is because the Bible was written before the Quran. Are you getting me? I am telling you this at what juncture? The juncture of doing jihad through your tongue. Then I explained to him, I said, but if you read your Bible well, go and read the book of Deuteronomy 18:18. In it, God was speaking to Moses, according to what you've said. God said, Moses, I am going to send them up a prophet, like unto you, and it's going to be like you. Then I said, the place is referring to who? He said, Jesus. I said, no, it's not Jesus. Because if it is Jesus, it will have said, I am going to send them a prophet from among themselves. That is it, from among their brethren. And the brethren of the Jews are the Arabs, because they have Abrahamic origin. The Jews through Isaac, Jacob. The Arabs through Abraham, through Ishmael. So anthropologically speaking, you can see. I'm telling you, you can use this style in imparting the method through the tongue. Not through dogmatism, through intellectual dialoguing. Okay. Qul hatu burhanakum. Then I said, if you insist, the place refers to Jesus, but it says he is going to be like unto you, Moses. So let's analyze it. Let's be analytical. In what way is Jesus like Moses? Number one, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was born through the normal biological processes, man intervening. Likewise, Moses. But Jesus was born miraculously. In this case, Muhammad is more like Moses and not Jesus like Moses. And your Bible says it's going to be like unto you. Tell me, is your tongue in doing jihad through Burhan, through reason, through argument, through intellectual dialoguing, not through dogmatism or abusive language? I said, number two, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam did get married. Didn't he? He maintained marital and matrimonial life. What about Jesus? Jesus didn't get married. Moses had wife. So in that case, Muhammad is like Musa sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and Jesus is not like him. In fact, many instances, about 10. That is just few examples. Similarly, it's part of jihad through the tongue to try and debunk claims that cannot be substantiated. Like the people say now, you see, during St. Valentine, it is the time, it is a season for showing love and affection. I say, which kind of love? Are you telling me Islam does not have basis for showing love? Islam is the base of all religions showing love. It says salam, salam, salam. Showing love to your father, love to your mother, love to your children. In fact, there was a time Ibn Umar, a Sahabi, saw a man carrying his mother on his back going around the Kaaba, doing circumambulation with his mother. And then he said to Ibn Umar, Ya Ibn Umar, atarani qad abbaytu haqqa ummi? Qala la. Don't you think I have rendered, I have settled the claims of my mother on me? He said, no. He said, why? He said, because when you were a minor, she was looking at you with tender affection, hoping you are going to live good life. But now she is practiced, use Shakespeare's English. She is not practiced. She's old. Now you are looking after her, but you wish her to die. Because even a typical house society is, what do you mean? You mean, may they die. That's what you mean. You are only putting gilashi. You want to just divert. So you see, you are suffering for her now, wishing her to die. So you can never have settled that kind of date on you. That is Islam. So what I'm saying, Islam is the religion that preaches how to love. But St. Valentine talks about keeping alive a pagan festival known as Lupercalia. You know what is Lupercalia? The Lupercalis was a pagan tradition that used to take place in those times. Alright? But later, one pope one saint known Valentine was killed by Claudius Goticus, and later in 494 the day it was changed to be the day for celebration for the so-called lovers, even though it has mysterious origin. During the celebration, people go exchange letters. How can a Muslim celebrate something that is purely but is originally paganistic in nature and turn and metamorphose to become Christian? Neither Islamic nor Quranic nor Sunnitic. It has origin in paganism. And Allah says in Quran 3:28, لا يتخذ المؤمنون الكافرين أولياء من دون المؤمنين. The Muslim should not take the unbelievers as friends. I mean, that is jihad. Explain it through your tongue, so also through your wealth, through your money. Allah says in Quran Surah As-Saffi, verses 10 to 11, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا هَلْ أَدُلُّكُمْ عَلَىٰ تِجَارَةٍ تُنْجِيكُمْ مِنْ أَذَابٍ أَلِيمٍ. O you who believe, shall I lead you to good commercial transaction that is going to save you from grievous chastisement? The answer is yes. Okay. 2 million of you believe in Allah and His Messenger, and then you strive jihad with your wealth. Similarly, in Quran chapter 9, verse 111, Allah says, Inna Allah ishtara min al-mu'min anfusahum wa amwalahum bi anna lahum al-jannah. Allah has purchased from the believers their persons and their wealth by doing jihad. In Quran chapter 2, verse 218, Allah says, Inna alladhina amanu walladhina hajaru wajahadu. Many Quranic verses talking about jihad. Now, it is wrong. It is a lie. It is a fallacious concoction to say Islam was spread through sword. Now somebody asked me in a lecture in Abu Zara just last 2 days in Samarug, well, during question and answer session, if true Islam is not forcing people, why is it that if somebody becomes apostate, you know, apostate, murtad, he who leaves Islam commits ridda, apostasy, why there is ruling to sentence an apostate? He said, because he has been a Muslim. A non-Muslim, we have no business learning about it, because Allah says, La ikraha fi deen, no compulsion in the religion. But a Muslim that leaves Islam should be judged appropriately, legally, and accordingly. That is jihad. The ulama say, rahmatullahi alayhim, there is jihad at-talab, there is jihad at-dafa. Jihad is of two categories. There is jihad that is supposed to be initiated by the Muslims. Like how? Going to the nooks, corners, and crannies of the societies, explaining Islam, analyzing sin, even fighting to make sure Allah is obeyed. You can't tell me I have the right. No. You are creator, you are nourisher, you are cherisher, you are certain is Allah. And he has the right that his ways should be obeyed. In the Western society, that they didn't create us, they have the gods sending their own ideas to us. Okay? They didn't create us, yet they have the gut to come and colonize us. They want to teach us good ways in court, and we accept it. They didn't create us. What about Allah, who created you? Doesn't he have the right for his light to be sent to you? So in the light of this, there is jihad talab. If the ways could come and invade us and teach us their English, their common law, and we're proud of, what about the Almighty who created all of us? He has better right that his religion should be sent across the land. That forms what the ulama call jihad talab. Jihad from point one. You initiate it. But in this time, through preachings, through good manner, through education, good governance, and the like. But at the same time, nobody can deny the usage of sword as appropriately as it is deemed fit, depending on the situation. Okay? We are saying this because those saying jihad is no longer available, they are not speaking the truth. They are not speaking Islam, but they are speaking their whims and caprices. The second category of jihad is called jihad al-dafa', that is the defensive jihad. That means when the Muslim ummah is attacked, living in peace and stability and tranquility, an intruder, an invader comes attacking the ummah, in that case all should come out and defend the land, defend the civilization, defend the religion, defend the basics, defend everything dear to all of us. The ulama call this difa' jihad al-dafa', on the defensive. Like what happened when the intruders invaded Iraq, they invaded Afghanistan. Let me take you down history lane. In 1979, the government of USSR, Union of Socialist Soviet Republic, under Mr. Leonid Brezhnev, then 79, took it upon itself to invade the Muslim nation of Afghanistan. You remember this? Okay, they invaded Afghanistan and the Mujahideen came up. We talk of Sayyab, Hikmatyar, and co. And the Muslim Ummah took up arms to push out the invader. And it happened. Finally, by 1988, alhamdulillah, the Mujahideen had success in inflicting defeat on the Soviet forces, such that Russia lost about 100,000 soldiers. To tell you, the jihad was a sign of ummah, what? Superiority. And they became successful. That is why, in a hadith of Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, and it is declared sahih by Al-Hakim, the Prophet said on a sort of Ibn Umar, the Prophet said, he said, إِذَا تَبَايَعْتُمْ بِالْعِينَ وَأَخَذْتُمْ أَذْنَابَ الْبَطْرِ وَرَضِيتُمْ بِالزَّرِّ وَتَرَكْتُمُ الْجِهَادَ صَلَّطَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْكُمْ ظُلًّا لَا يَنْزِعُ حَتَّى تَرْجِعُوا إِلَى دِينِكُمْ أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْكُمْ. But a challenge in Ina. What is Ina? It's a kind of a dubious commercial transaction. وَأَخَذْتُمْ أَذْنَابَ الْبَقَرِ, and you busy yourself in just rearing kettles. That's the meaning. It's a symbolical expression there. وَرَضِيتُمْ بِالذَّرِ, and you are worried only about how to till land. وَتَرَكْتُمُ الْجِهَادِ, and you leave jihad, Allah will clamp upon you humiliation. You'll be humiliated such that Allah will never remove it until you go back to your religion. Is there anybody that can tell me the ummah is not undergoing a trying time, trying moment, locally, nationally, continentally, globally, and any legally in the English lexicon? Can you tell me that? That is the practical meaning and translation and actualization of this hadith. Because the Prophet Allah says, وَمَا يَنْتِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيٌ يُوحَىٰ عَلَّمَهُ شَدِدُ الْقُوَىٰ. It's high time we call it a day, brothers and sisters. Inshallah, we are going to meet next, same stations, on this important issue. We're going to take a different topic of discussion that reflects the realities of today. Islam and the society, and Islam and the realities of today. On behalf of our cameraman and the producers of both CTV, or of Academy Television, and NTA Kano, all the producers and cameramen, like I have said, I, the presenter, saying, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.